take my life, take my will, take everything there is about me and conform it to yours, Lord. That's what that song is saying. May I and everything that is within me be conformed to what you want from me. And that's what we're supposed to be about as Christians. And we're going to begin talking about that. Actually, I hope we talk about that every time we meet. Because that's what God's plan for us is to be conformed to his likeness. How many of you would agree that there is no possible way we're ever going to be like Christ here on this earth? Would you agree with that statement? Should we try? Okay, and that's where we're going to focus in today and for the next several weeks, actually. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for our time of worship this morning. Father, I pray that we don't stop worshiping now, but Father, we continue to worship as your word is opened up and read. And Father, we glean from it some truths that you want us to know. And Father, how you want our lives to be changed and lives to be different. Father, may we hear that challenge. May we hear that charge. May we hear that command from you. And may we respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is going to be our theme verse for the next several weeks. Now, we'll be looking at other parts of Scripture, but this is going to kind of be our theme verse for the next several weeks as we begin to talk about Christian disciplines. Okay? Christian disciplines. And how many of you have ever been disciplined in your life? Now, that word carries several different meanings, I'm sure, right? Some of you, being disciplined may mean that I have disciplined myself. I've become, I don't know what the other word is, but I've become regular. I've trained myself. I've devoted myself. I've become disciplined. Some of us remember discipline maybe meaning emotions similar to this, of some sort, with a paddle or a hand or a belt or something like that. Or maybe, you know, if you're young, maybe your form of discipline was time out. I'm not sure about all of that stuff. But, and I won't even go there because that's another sermon. We'll talk about that for years. But discipline, we're going to begin talking about that. And I'll tell you, first off, that this series is going to be a different type of sermon series for us. Because it's not, it's more of a teaching time, okay? For the next several Sundays, it's going to be more of a teaching time on Sunday mornings instead of preaching, okay? I don't know that there really is that big of a difference, but it's the kind of an attitude. This is teaching us how we need to be, and specifically as Christians, what we need to be about, okay? This passage, let's read it. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Christian disciplines are those things that we must do in order to become more like Christ. Our theme verse is there on the board. And go on to the next slide, if you would, please. This is going to be our motto. Train yourself for the purpose of godliness. We must ask ourselves a few questions before we begin. Is it important to grow in Christ-likeness? We must answer that for ourselves. We must say, okay, self, is it important that I grow to become more like Christ? I understand that I will never be completely like him, but is it important for me to grow closer to that end? Okay, once we answer that question within ourselves, okay, either yes, it is important for me to grow more like Christ, or no, it's not important for me to grow like Christ. We have to answer that question first. If we say yes, it is important, then why? What's the purpose? Paul tells us when he's writing to Timothy, he says, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's the purpose, godliness. We need to know why we're going to be disciplined because, frankly, if we're not motivated by something, we will fail. We know that. Setting goals are good, but setting arbitrary goals will not motivate us to achieve anything. There must be a purpose. We must be driven by something bigger than ourselves. The most important aspect of any discipline is the purpose, right? I mean, if you were being disciplined as a child by a parent or an uncle or a grandparent or maybe the neighbor's parents, there was a purpose behind it. If not, it's just being beaten, right? But there should be a purpose behind it. The purpose behind the discipline is for something. Now, if you were being disciplined, it was to correct your behavior probably or something like that. I wouldn't know much about that. Being disciplined. Actually, I do. I know quite a bit about it. This form of discipline. I know a lot about that. And I'm speaking of the receiving end. I'm sure if you want to hear some stories about your pastor's father would be glad to tell you lots of things. Just keep in mind that he's in his older age. Some of his stories may not be accurate anymore. And if they tend to say something that I was doing that was wrong or negative, just take that with a grain of salt and assume that that's probably not the truth. But the most important aspect of any discipline is the purpose. And Paul tells Timothy the purpose is godliness. And over the next several weeks, we'll be looking at some biblical disciplines, which if followed, okay, that's the key word there, if followed, because a discipline doesn't do us any good if we just recognize and say, oh yeah, that's a nice discipline. That's a nice thing for somebody to do. If we don't follow that, it doesn't do us any good. So if followed, they will help us to become more like Christ. They will help us to achieve the goal, the purpose of godliness. Some of these that we're going to be talking about the next several weeks are Bible intake, which is going to be next Sunday, and then Bible study. And there's a difference, okay? And I'll give you just a quick intro to the difference. Bible intake is those things like we're doing right now. We're sitting, we're listening to the, we're hearing the Bible. We're listening to preaching. We're hearing the Word read. We're listening through songs. A lot of our songs have Scripture in them. We're taking in Scripture. That's what Bible intake is. Bible study is when you dig deep. You find the historical, the cultural settings behind what was going on, and you study the words and the phrases, and you glean what an application for that today is. It's just a deeper level. And then there's worship is a discipline. I'm excited about us learning more about worship. Prayer is a discipline. Evangelism. Service is a discipline. Stewardship. We're going to talk about money. Fasting is a discipline. Silence and solitude and simplicity are some of the things we're going to talk about. And not each one of those is going to get a whole sermon to itself. Don't fret yourself yet. Don't ask me for the schedule so you can skip out on one that you don't want. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to surprise you. It's going to be different. These disciplines are often things we don't want to do. Would you agree to that? Tom Landry. Anybody know who Tom Landry was? Is he still alive? Does anybody know? He is? Okay. Longtime head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He said this. The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they always wanted to be. That's what the job of a football coach is. It's discipline. In much the same way, Christians are called to make themselves, we are called to make ourselves do something we would not naturally do in order to become what deep down inside we all want to really be. And what we're called to be also. Whether or not you want to be or not, you're called to be. And if you call yourself a Christian and you do not desire to become more godly than you are right now, then you need to check yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, it says. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And so we must test ourselves, examine ourselves. Is Christ in me? Have I given him? Have I committed my life to him and received him as my Lord and Savior? Because frankly, if you haven't done that, it doesn't matter what discipline you do. Doesn't matter how disciplined you make yourself. If you don't first recognize that Christ is in you, then the purpose of becoming godliness just is not the purpose anymore. It's something else. You have to have Christ. And if you don't have Christ this morning, let me urge you. Let me challenge you. Inspect yourself. And if you don't have Christ, today could be the very best day of your life, the day you give yourself to Him for all of eternity. And we talked about that all of eternity doesn't start when you die. As Christians, we are living in eternity right now. And if you're not a Christian, friend, I'm sorry, but you're dying in all of eternity right now. There's a big difference. I got off my notes there for a second. I started to preach. If you examine yourself and find that you are indeed a Christian, you need to ask yourself, am I actively pursuing godliness as Christ demands? Okay. Brother Mike, I've inspected myself. I've asked myself, and yes, I have given myself to Christ. I am a Christian. So now I ask myself, am I actively pursuing godliness? Am I involved in things that's going to grow me in godliness for the purpose of God? Am I doing those things? We need to ask ourselves that. It doesn't just happen. We will not follow accidentally or occasionally and be true disciples. Donald Whitney writes this. He says, I've seen Christians who are faithful to the church of God, who frequently demonstrate genuine enthusiasm for the things of God, and who dearly love the Word of God. I've seen them trivialize their effectiveness for the kingdom through a lack of discipline. Spiritually, they are a mile wide and an inch deep. There are no deep, time-worn channels of communicating discipline between them and God. They have dabbled in everything, but disciplined themselves in nothing. Without naming names or pointing fingers, we can probably think of someone who is like that, who is so infrequent, or maybe they've gone through the motions. They've been faithful to come to church on Sunday mornings, and maybe y'all, if we're honest, maybe we're pointing at ourselves too. We've done some things, but there's no true desire, there's no true passion within us to do all of those things that's going to train us for the purpose of godliness. We've dabbled in everything. We're faithful to the program. We're faithful to the ministry. We're faithful to that. But there's no true, genuine love that drives and compels us in our passion to follow Christ in all aspects of our life. Think about your relationships for a moment. If I said to my wife, I love you. And also love her. And tonight, baby, this is your night. Because tomorrow night I'm with her, okay? Is Rebecca going to believe that I love her? Why not? Oh. Because I'd be cheating, she says. If your child said this to you, I love you. And I respect you and your rules, sweet parent. But then they go off and they disregard your rules. When they leave the house, they no longer care about your rules, the things you set out for them to follow. Does he or she really respect you and your rules? What kind of a friend would say to you, man, I need your help right now. I'm in a bind. I really need your help. Don't ever ask me to help you out, but I need your help right now. Man, I'm glad you're my friend. How many of you would agree that that's the best kind of friend to have? Why not? Do we believe them when they say those things? Better yet, does God believe us when our actions don't line up with our words? As parents, we never stop loving our kids. Even when they sometimes do some really stupid things. And parents, kids, listen, your parents were once kids too. And guess what? they did some stupid things. Some of us parents still do stupid things. Okay? And I will be first to admit to that. However, I think we all would say, wait a minute. And maybe question their loyalty, their respect, their honor, or their commitment at times, right? We do that with everybody. When those relationships happen, when we say, our friend says, man, I need you real bad. You bet, I'm there. And then you're in a bind and you say, hey, I need you. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. It makes you question their loyalty to you, right? And I'm just wondering sometimes when we sing, I surrender all, God, to you. You're high and lifted up. I honor your name. Then we walk out of here and we act the way we do sometimes. I wonder if God just goes like, shaking his head and going, I'm confused. I'm confused because you, Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are yet far from me. I don't get that. They don't match up. What do you believe? Those scenarios I just mentioned to you. What do you believe? The words you hear or the actions you see? Why would God be different from that? Why would he believe our words and not care about our actions? Folks, what we do is important. And we're to train ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Some will say, wait a minute. I thought I was supposed to be free in Christ. That sounds more like slavery. So am I free or am I slave? And I'll answer that question. And the answer is yes. Remember that little part about denying ourselves? Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if anyone would follow me, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So yes, we are free, and we're slaves. We're slaves because we surrender ourselves to his lordship, to his leadership. I know it sounds strange, but there's a freedom that comes with embracing the spiritual disciplines. Let me illustrate this principle. Have you ever seen or heard someone who has mastered an art or developed a great talent, like maybe a musician or an artist or an athlete or a successful business person? Have you ever known anybody like that? Most likely, they've all spent time working on their craft or their skill or their talent in order to develop it into a high quality thing. Good stuff. More than likely, they've devoted a lot of time and they've worked on it to develop it to where it's good quality stuff . They did the hard work in order to have the freedom to make beautiful music. They did the hard work to be able to make some great athletic plays on the playing field. They did the hard work so that they would be familiar and know and make the proper business decisions to become successful. They've done the hard work. They've done the training and the tedious work of learning how to blend paints and shadows and all that so that they can produce a magnificent masterpiece. They did the hard work in order to have the freedom to make something beautiful. In order to be free, you have to put in the work. You see, discipline is the price of freedom. Discipline is the price of freedom. Freedom is not the opposite of discipline, okay? It's not freedom here and discipline here. It's not the opposites. Freedom is the reward of discipline. Because I'm disciplined, I get the freedom. God wants you to be free. But you only get there through discipline. Will you join me in this journey? Will you commit yourself to the disciplines for the purpose of godliness? If you're a Christian, you're commanded to do so. If you're unwilling to pursue godliness, you're in a very dangerous place. Revelation, a passage that'll be familiar to most of you. chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Friend, don't be guilty of making God want to throw up. That's what that means, that spew you out of my mouth. It actually means you make me want to vomit. I'm sorry if that sounds gross to you, but I think sometimes our actions seem gross to God. Makes him so sick he just wants to throw up. Because of we're neither hot nor cold. We're just kind of, oh, well, I'll do this on my time. And I'll give God this amount of what I want to give to him. And I'm going to reserve this other for me. And that means my time, my money, my talents, my whatever. And God's just, I think, shaking his head. You make me sick, I think. Might be a proper current modern day translation of that verse. You make me sick. Don't be guilty of that. Being a Christian is hard work. And like I told you last week, I believe it was last week, if somebody ever told you it was easy and it was just, oh, just give your life to Jesus and everything's all hunky-dory, I'm sorry, but somebody lied to you. It's not easy. It's hard work. Discipline is hard work. It takes effort. We have to be devoted. We have to put in the work. Be careful of anyone who tells you otherwise. But the benefits are beyond your wildest imagination. It's a freedom well worth the investment. The question is, will we? Will we make that commitment? I'm asking you to make a commitment today. No matter where you are in your Christian walk, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk with God, God is asking for more. If you've been the most devoted and committed you've ever been in your life, God said, that's great, and I appreciate that. But I want more. Over the next several weeks, we will look at some practical disciplines that will help us move towards godliness. However, it all starts with a commitment. Will you commit today? Will you commit today? Will today be the day you say, you know what? Today, I'm going to commit. Today, I'm going to give myself truly. I know that I walked the aisle. I know that I gave the commitment. I know I got baptized. And I'm a Christian, but I've not been living like it. I've not been sold out. I've just been dabbling in it. I find that when I've examined myself, I'm a mile wide, but I'm only an inch deep. And I commit today. Today, for the very first time, I commit that I want to be deep. I want to know the deep truths. I want to understand what God's plan and his purpose for me is. And I give myself fully to that endeavor. Will you commit today? For some, it's a recommitment. For some, today I'm going to recommit. I'm going to start fresh anew and begin wholeheartedly to become more like Christ. And for others, this may be the first time. Maybe today is the day you receive Jesus Christ as your salvation, as your Savior. Maybe today is the day you say, you know what? I've never really trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never really received the forgiveness that only He can offer. I've never allowed Him to become the boss of my life. I've never called Him Lord and really meant it. Maybe today is that day for you. This morning, we're going to open up the altar. And I'm going to ask you to commit and give it all to God. The altar is going to be open. I'm going to be standing here in the front. If you would like to come and talk to me, if you would like for me to pray with you, but I'm going to do something different today too. Maybe you're a woman here today and you just don't want to come and pray with you, this man that's standing up here in front of you. And that's fine. I want to offer that my wife will be available. If you would like to come and pray with her, she will be here. Okay? Maybe you don't want to pray with anybody, except you just want to come and kneel before God, and you want to get straight with Him, and you want to talk to Him and say, Lord, I commit myself to you today. I recommit myself to you. Father, today, change me. Make me new. Make me different. I want it. Maybe that's what you're saying today. And I'm going to ask you to act on that. Remember what we said? We agreed that God, He hears what we say and He sees what we do. Which do you think He puts more stock in? So I'm going to ask you to move on it, to commit yourself. I'm going to start right now. If you are here today, and you would say, today, I commit that I want to work for the purpose of godliness. I want to become more disciplined. I'm going to take these next several weeks and I'm going to learn some very practical steps that are going to help me become more like Christ. And I'm going to do that and I'm going to devote myself. If you would do that, I'm going to ask you, would you just stand right now? Maybe that's not you. And if that's not you, just please remain seated. But if today you would say, yes, I commit that I want to become more like Christ, say, would you just stand up? That's great. That's great. Maybe somebody, for some of you, this is the very first time you've ever done that. I want you to know, I'm going to be in the front. Rebecca will be up here. If you want to come and pray with her or I, the altar's open. This is your time. Respond as the Lord leads. Help lead us in the song, please.